Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Sure is good to be in the house of the Lord. Had the opportunity last night to travel back up to my hometown of Lenore. Preached in my former church at their sweetheart banquet with my friend, Pastor Joel Bixler. And we got back last night and glad to be here this morning. Was able to see my dad. Many of you have been asking about him. He had a good day yesterday. Some medication has been helping him, been leveling out some of the memory issues. And so we're thankful for that. And I appreciate your prayers for my parents. It's been a blessing. 1 John chapter number 5, and find, if you would please, verse number 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. Whosoever believeth, if you don't have a Bible, the text verses will be on the screen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever, aren't you glad that God is a whosoever God? I mean, right here at the very outset, what I'm preaching on today includes everybody. No one is excluded. That means you. That means me. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, that's the one who begat us, that's the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, regenerating us. And the Bible says, and everyone that loveth Him that begat, that means that we love God, we love our Father. And notice here's what's natural going to come out of that, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. So if I am begotten of God, I'm saved, I'm part of the family of God, it's just normal and natural for me to love other members in the family. Notice verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not heavy. I hear this all the time. Well, it's hard to be a Christian. No, no, you've got it wrong. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. God liberates Satan in slaves. Notice He says in verse 4, and this is where I want you to really lean in. For whatsoever, same word as whosoever, is born of God overcometh the world. Did you see that? And this is the victory. Did you catch something here? Overcoming, victory, that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Christian, I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear me loud and clear this morning. You are an overcomer. You see, an overcomer is not some super saint. They're not someone who has an SC written across their chest that says super Christian. No, an overcomer is a person who has been born of God. That means they are saved. Their sins have been forgiven. There's a moment in their lives that they place their faith in Jesus Christ and they came to know Him. And friend, the Bible says that when you know Christ, you are an overcomer. That is your identity in the Lord Jesus. That is who you are in Him. New Testament, as you begin to read it verse after verse, will bear out this great truth. Let me just give you a couple of them. You can write them down. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I love that phrase. More than conquerors. I'm not just a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror in Christ through Him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. That means to celebrate the victory. Hey, it's not just that I'm a victor. I can celebrate the victory. That's what he's saying. Always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. When you begin to study the book of 1 John, it's a book of victory. I want you to go back a couple chapters. Would you do that? Look at chapter 2. And I want you to find verse number 13. chapter 2, verse number 13. We're going to look at these instances of overcoming. Just going to read them. Look at verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, those are mature Christians, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men. He's talking about those who have reached a level of spiritual maturity in their lives. The fathers are of full age. Young men are men and women of God who have learned the truths of the Christian life. Watch this phrase. Because you have overcome the wicked one. You know what that means? That means you have victory over Satan and the forces of evil in your life. That means you have victory over temptation. Look at verse number 14. He's going to say it again. I've written unto you, fathers, full age, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Aren't you glad that we've got victory over the devil today? Now we come back to chapter 4 and verse number 4. We're going to find that word overcome again. Look what he says. Verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children. He's talking about the family of God. It includes everybody. And have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I just want to go on record this morning and say He is greater. And then we come to chapter 5. In verses 4 and 5, where the Bible tells me that we, the title of my message this morning, we are overcomers. Can I say it again? We are overcomers. Do you believe that? Do you live it? It's one thing to know it. It's something else to live it. Let's pray. Father, as we bow before You this morning, I want to thank You for the victory we have in Jesus. Lord, that You didn't just save us and forgive our sins, and had You done that, that was enough. But Lord, You've given us victory over those things that come against us, that hinder what You want to do in our lives. Lord, You've made us overcomers in Christ. And I pray, Father, today that we would learn the truths to live out practically what You say is true of us. Lord, that we would magnify You and love You and live out Your Word in our daily lives. And Lord, there's some that You want to make them overcomers for the very first time because You want them to be born of God. And I pray that today would be the day that they would be born again spiritually. And I'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I want you to look again with me, if you would please. In verse number 4, the Bible said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Did you notice that word overcometh that's mentioned 6 times, overcome or overcometh, mentioned 6 times in 1 John, 3 times in verses 1 through 5. We get our English word Nike from that word. It means to carry off the victory. It means to conquer. It means to prevail. It's a picture of an athlete who is on the field of play. And they've given every fiber of their being, and they've carried off the victory, so to speak. They are celebrating the triumph. They are an overcomer because they overcome and they won the contest. They prevailed. You know what we would say of that person? They are a winner. I just want to say something, Christian, this morning. You are a winner. But what we need to do is learn to win. You see, God says I'm an overcomer. God says I'm a victor. God says that I am a winner. But what I have to do is learn to win in a very practical way in my spiritual life. It's a picture of a warrior that's standing on the field of battle with sword in hand, having vanquished the foe. He has won the fight. We would say of him, he is a victor. That's what we would say. Now I want you to notice the word overcometh is in the present tense. It means right now, at this moment, overcoming. It describes an ongoing victory, something that is true in a very practical way, day by day, moment by moment. It is an ongoing victory. Now here's why. Because we face an ongoing struggle. As long as you are living this side of heaven, there is going to be an ongoing struggle in your spiritual life. You're in a battle, Christian. The Bible said that He overcometh the world. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That doesn't mean the world of men. It's talking about the world and everything in it, with all of its heartaches and trials and tragedy and pain and temptation and that would lure us away from the Lord Jesus. It's allurement. It's everything in the world. All that is in the world, John says, that's opposed to all that is of God in our lives. How many of you battle the world this week? Sure we have. By the way, we're all fellow strugglers, but you know what? God never says that. God said, no, you're an overcomer. Isn't that amazing? I thought about how He tells us we've overcome the wicked one. That means that the forces of evil, Satan, fights against us. The world, the flesh, the devil, there's an ongoing struggle in our lives. There's an ongoing struggle. And God said there's to be an ongoing overcoming in our lives because we're overcomers. I thought about Fanny Crosby. She's the greatest hymn writer of all time, more than likely. At the 20th century, anyway, she wrote nearly 9,000 hymns and gospel songs. We sing her songs oftentimes in our church. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Oh, I like Heir of Salvation, Purchase of God. Isn't that wonderful? Safe in the arms of Jesus, all the way my Savior leads me, and many, many more. Do you know that she was blinded as an infant at the age of 6 weeks? Some people believe that she was probably born blind. They do. There's a question about that today by people that are experts in that realm. But anyway, she had an eye infection, and a person posing as a doctor had sold her family a concoction. They poured it in her eyes, and the story of that day is it burned her eyes and blinded her. But you know what? She never became bitter. She wasn't overcome by her blindness. She's never bitter that she couldn't see. At the age of 8, she wrote this poem. Listen to it. She said, "Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." One time a preacher sympathetically remarked to her, he said, "Fanny, I think it's a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when He showered so many other gifts and blessings upon you." She quickly replied, and she said, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition," she said, if at birth I had been able to ask God of one thing, it would have been that I should be born blind." He said, "Why?" She said, "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." Wow. Do you know there was a hymn that we sing today that up until that time in her life, she had never published it. A man by the name of Kenneth Osbeck, who is an author of hymnology, he writes the stories of hymns and researches them, said it was revealed to the public sort of this way. He said, "One day at a Bible conference in Northfield, Massachusetts, Fanny Crosby was asked by D.L. Moody to give a personal testimony. At first she hesitated and quietly rose and said, 'There's one hymn I've written which has never been published. I call it my soul's poem. Sometimes when I'm troubled, I repeat it to myself, for it brings comfort to my heart.'" And as she recited it, the congregation began to weep. Here's what it goes. It goes like this, just one stanza. "Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. And I shall see Him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace." Did you know at 95 years of age, Fanny Crosby passed into glory and she saw Him face to face. You know what we would say of Fanny Crosby? She was an overcomer. Wouldn't we say that? Yet far too many Christians are living defeated lives. We feel anything but overcomers. We feel more like victims than we do victors. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. You say, "Preacher, all these things are against me." Doesn't have to stay that way. Every person in this room today can be a winner. You can be an overcomer. Christian, we are overcomers. Amen? You say, preacher, how? How in the world can I make what's true of me positionally in Christ practical in my everyday life? Well, John's going to tell us, and then it's going to be our theme for the next several weeks as we go through the Bible and we look at some of God's overcomers and what they overcame and learn from them how to overcome in life, because that's what we are. We're overcomers. Number one, you can be an overcomer this morning when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what John says. You can be an overcomer both positionally and practically in your everyday life when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Look at verse number one. He said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." That's what he said. And then he goes on to say in verse number four, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Didn't say they might overcome. It didn't say they may overcome. It didn't say they could overcome. God said, "You do overcome." Did you see that? That's what he said. John, in verse number one, is giving us the definition of a person who is saved. They're born of God. A person who has been born again by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, John uses this phrase, born of God, being born again, is unique to John's writings. Nobody else uses that phrase. When you go back to the Gospel of John, we won't do that. You go come to chapter 3, you just read a few short chapters into it, you're going to meet a man by the name of Nicodemus. He's going to have a nighttime interview with the Lord Jesus. And Nicodemus is a very religious man. But he wasn't a saved man. Do you realize that a person can be religious and yet be lost? They can still be unsaved. They can. Just being religious doesn't make a person saved. Jesus does not offer us religion. He is not the founder of religion. He came that men, women, boys, and girls might have a relationship with the God who created them. And he says in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Do you realize God says here that if a person's not saved, they can't even see it. They can't comprehend it. Jesus is going to mention another truth in verse 5. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," he's talking to Nicodemus, this religious man, "except a man be born of water," that's born one time physically. See, you can't be born a second time if you've never been born one time. You have to be born into the world to be born again. You have to be born physically. Born of water and of the Spirit. That's the second birth. It's a spiritual birth. It's a birth from above. It's a heavenly birth. You see, I was born one time physically into the human family. But on Sunday night, 1984, I was born a second time into the family of God, a heavenly family. I was made a child of God because I trusted Jesus Christ. He said, if he's not born of water and of the Spirit, that means he's born one time physically, but then he's not born again a second time spiritually. He fails to trust Christ. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, he didn't say anything about being baptized there. He didn't say anything about joining a church. He didn't say anything about keeping commandments. He didn't say anything about doing religious works. He didn't say helping your neighbor. He didn't say any of those things. He said, if you've not been born again, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. That's what he said. There's a whole lot of people in churches today, right here in King, and they're going through the motions of religion, but they're not going to go to heaven because they've never been born again. And they can't overcome. You cannot overcome until, first of all, you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You're born of God. You see, Jesus goes on to say in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." As members of the human race, we have been overcome by sin. We are members of a fallen race. We are sinners. We need a Savior. Thank God the ultimate overcomer, the Lord Jesus, entered this world. God became man through the virgin birth, lived a sinless life, went to the cross and died a sacrificial death for every man, woman, boy, and girl. In this room, they placed him in a tomb, but thank God he didn't stay in the tomb. 3 days later, he rose again. He overcame. Amen. You talk about a comeback story. He died and He arose. He's the overcomer. He overcame our sin at the cross. And friend, you can overcome sin when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior by faith. He paid the penalty for our sin. And all we must do is trust Him. Listen to what John 1:12 says. To as many as received Him, to them, to as many as received Him. Did you catch that? Didn't say get baptized. Didn't say come down here and shake my hand. Didn't say join this church. Didn't say that. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That means they personally place their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Friend, it's a decision to trust Christ. It is. Have you made that decision? Have you trusted Him by faith to save you? If not, you can. And friend, the moment you do, you are an overcomer. Because Jesus overcame in death, we can overcome in life. Oh, if you've never trusted Him today, you need to. And at that moment, you become an overcomer. We win. Listen to this. We win by knowing Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Number two, very quickly. And this is not going to make sense at the beginning, but it will. You just stay with me. Number one, you want to be an overcomer? Now, I know I am an overcomer, but I want to win in life. I want to overcome in life. Then I need to love other members of God's family. That's what He said. Isn't that right? He goes on to say about those who are born of God and everyone that loveth Him that begets, says, if you love God, are you listening to me? John says, if you love God, Him that begat, then you're to love Him also that is begotten of Him. God said, here's what He's saying. John's saying, you can't love God and not love other members of the family. Didn't say you're not saved. It just says, you can't love God and not love your fellow Christian. You know, it's just normal and natural for members in the same family to love each other. It's just natural. We're born with a natural affection. And when we get saved, we're born with a natural affection to love others in the family of God. You see, every father wants his children to love each other, and our Heavenly Father is no different. He wants His children to love each other. Look at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, this particular commandment is the command to love one another. Here's what Jesus said, John 13, verses 34 and 35. Are you ready? He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Here's what He said. He's saying to the upper room, to the disciples, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, I want you to love each other the way I love you. Wow. Wow. That means I'm to love you the way Jesus loves you. You're to love me the way Jesus loves me. Isn't that powerful? That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. You know, He didn't say, that by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you wear a Jesus Saves pin on your lapel. Or if you have a honk, if you love Jesus bumper sticker on the back of your car. Have you ever noticed people with those things, they like to speed and they're reckless drivers? If you're a reckless driver, don't put honk if you love Jesus on the back of your car, okay? That's just a bad test. Yeah, it's just a bad testimony. If you don't get anything out of the message, don't put honk if you love Jesus on the back of your car if you drive recklessly, okay? You got something out of the message today. That's not how people know that we're His disciples. Here's how people walk in that church and know we're real. It's when we love each other the way God loves us. But many a Christian fails to overcome. Are you listening to me? They fail to overcome. They do not win in the Christian life because they don't love the way Jesus loves. They don't love the way Jesus loves. They got a critical spirit. A critical spirit. Got a judgmental attitude. Well, I love her, but I don't have to like her. Well, where in the world did that come? Did that come from God? Aren't you glad God doesn't say, well, you know old Kevin down there, I love him, but I sure don't like him. Wouldn't that be awful? That'd be awful. We say things like that. No, God said, I'm to love. I'm to love them. We're in bondage to bitterness. Oh. And anger. And resentment. And unforgiveness. And these things get into our lives. And they capture us and they control us and it defiles us and we cease to win. We're not overcomers. We're being overcome. What we have to do is confess the sin that we're critical. Oh, can I tell you, if we're all honest in this room this morning, there's a little bit of Pharisee in all of us. How easy it is for me as a Christian to look down on somebody else because I think I might be a little cut above them. How easy it is for you. I don't believe that's winning, do you? And we confess the sin of not loving our brother, of harboring this judgmental attitude, these things in our lives. And we confess that, we release that wrong, we forgive that hurt. Listen, let me tell you what overcomers do. They live in the freedom and the victory of God forgiving them and them forgiving others. They love the way Jesus loved. Jesus is the ultimate forgiver. Isn't that right? And so should we be. You see, we'll never win in life if we fail to love God's way. We win by knowing. We win by loving. Can I help you understand today? You will never be an overcomer in a practical sense as long as you don't love the way Jesus loves. That's powerful. Number three, I want you to get it. I'm an overcomer in my daily life. Now, God said I'm an overcomer. I'm saved. I'm an overcomer. But we're talking about the practical aspect of it. Overcoming in our daily lives. Of not living in bondage. Of living in the freedom that God's given. I'm convinced the abundant life is an overcoming life. But nowhere did it say that the abundant life was a problem-free, trouble-free life. Temptation-free life. God never said that. He said He never did. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. It's going to happen. We live in obedience to Christ's commands. Look at verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Didn't say keep the pastor's commandments. Can I tell you a lot of failure in our churches through history is we've been keeping the commandments of men and not the commandments of God. And every person and every preacher and every evangelist has their own list. Boy, and if you're keeping my list in your spirit, can I tell you it's not about keeping my list? It's about keeping His list. It's following His commandments. Boy, that's liberating. That's liberating. You see, a lot of times we've been trying to be something on the outside that we're not on the inside because we've been trying to keep man's commandments rather than God's commandments. Oh, listen, when I figured that out, God liberated me. He sure did. You know, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me. What matters is what God thinks of me. Quit being in bondage to what other people think about you. And start making it your business to please Jesus every day of your life by keeping His commandments. And when you do, you're overcoming. Wow. D.L. Moody said every Christian should put their Bible in shoe leather. I like that, don't you? James put it this way in James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, and continueth therein, that means I'm putting it in shoe leather, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Can I help us understand, it's not just knowing the Word, but living the Word that brings the blessing. There was a preacher who gave testimony, he was committing adultery with a woman in the community, and he lost his ministry. And he was given testimony about that situation. And he said, you know, he said, I was quoting every verse in the Bible about not committing adultery and what God says about a sinful lifestyle. He said, I was quoting it in English, Hebrew, and Greek. Well, good for him. What he should have been doing was stop quoting it and started living it. It's not quoting the Bible, it's living the Bible. Obedience will not just bring God's blessing, it'll put you on the pathway to victory. And here's what we have the wrong idea. Are you leaning in this morning? Everybody awake and listening? Because I'm helping us this morning. Very practical. Here's where the wrong idea comes in. We have the wrong idea that to overcome sin is to stop sinning. Well, preacher, that's what you've just been saying. No, that's not what I've been saying. You see, here's the problem. The more we try not to sin, the more we sin. Let me just ask you something. If you're walking along and you see a sign, "Keep off my grass," what inside of you wants to happen? You want to walk over there and go, "I stepped on your grass." Am I being honest? We try to stop thinking sinful thoughts. The more you try not to think wrong thoughts, you know what? The more you're going to think them. God doesn't tell us to stop sinning. Here's what God says. I want you to jot this verse down. Galatians 5, 6, 7. By the way, before I get there, let me tell you what Paul said. You know what Paul struggled to? Hey, did you just hear what I said? The apostle Paul struggled too. I struggle. I'm just being honest. I want to step on the grass. I do. I do. There's some in me that wants to do that. Here's what Paul said. Are you listening? Romans 7:21. "For when I would do good, evil is present with me." That's powerful. Victory doesn't come by trying to stop doing wrong, but by determining to do right. Amen. Galatians 5:16, that's the verse. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I don't need to get up every morning and try to stop sinning. What I need to do is get up every morning and walk in the Spirit. Because when I walk in the Spirit, you know what the Spirit's always going to lead me to do? To keep His commandments. And when I'm keeping His commandments, when I'm saying yes to God, I'm saying no to sin, I'm saying no to self, I'm saying no to Satan. Hey, I need my focus to be right. I need to quit focusing on what's wrong and start focusing on what God says is right, keeping His commandments. And when I make that my focus and I say yes to God, then I'm going to say no to sin. Isn't that right? By the way, you say, "Preacher, I'm struggling with my thought life." Then put Jesus in your thought life. You can't think of Jesus and look at pornography at the same time. Can't do it. You want to break the pornography addiction? Fall in love with Jesus. You know, you say no to sin by saying yes to God. The founder of the Salvation Army, back when it was a gospel entity, an organization in the slums of London, William Booth was a great Christian. They asked him, they said, what's the secret of your blessed life? Here's what he said: "I never say no to the Lord. I never say no to the Lord." You know, when you say no to the Lord, you're saying yes to sin, to Satan, to self, to the world. You're not overcoming. But when you say yes to God, that's when the victory comes. All right, you ready? Let me give you number four. I want to be an overcomer, preacher. I want to win in life. God tells me I'm an overcomer. We are overcomers. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. We are overcomers. Now, God said, "I want you to overcome. I want you to win." Here's the last one. This is the crux. Daily live out your faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to look at verse 4 again. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." That is a statement of truth. And this is the victory. All right, here's the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not just that we have faith, but it's the exercising of faith. And he's going to say that again in verse 5. "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." That word "believeth" is active trust that Jesus is the Son of God. Now you say, "Well, preacher, I've already believed that. I'm saved." Wait a minute. No, it's living out your faith. It's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment trust in the enabling power of Jesus, who is the Son of God. You see, there's a whole lot of people today who want to make Jesus like me and want to make Jesus like you. And I'm just going to go on record and say this. He's not like you and He's not like me. He's greater than all of us. He may be the Son of man, but He is the Son of God. And is anything too hard for the Lord? No. He overcame so I can overcome. Jesus is the Son of the living God. the Almighty God, the great I Am. He is all we need to live life successfully as overcomers. Hey, listen, we don't overcome in ourselves. It is not the power of positive thinking. It is not grin and bear it and make our way through it. It is not just trying to put our head down and trudge along. No, it's more than that. We overcome through Him. It's living victoriously through Christ. He is the ultimate overcomer. Let me give you the verse, John 16:33. He told His disciples before He went back to heaven, here's what He said. These things I've spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But you know what John's telling us? Exactly what Jesus told him. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Here's what you need to do. We underlined that entire verse, but you know what you need to really underline? It is the last phrase. I have overcome the world. Can I just tell you, at the cross, sin couldn't defile Him. Satan couldn't kill Him. We say, He died on the cross. No, He gave His life. The devil and those soldiers didn't take it. The grave couldn't hold Him. How about that? He arose victorious over sin and Satan and death and hell and the grave. He is the ultimate overcomer. He is the victor. That's why Paul said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I'm just reminding us today, if you can't sing anything else, sing of the mercies of the Lord. Victory was won at Calvary. Now listen to 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us. Do you think words matter? Giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He won the victory and He's given it to you. He didn't just want you to survive this world. He wants you to thrive. You give me about a few more minutes and I'm going to tell you how. You ready? By trusting that He is with you. He's with us. Isn't that a blessing? He's with us. I thought about Joseph, the Old Testament overcomer. We're going to look at Joseph. Way back in the book of Genesis, he was hated. He was conspired against. He was beaten, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, seduced by his master's wife, lied on, and then wound up in prison. He was a dreamer. God had given him a dream. And his dreams were shattered. But here's a phrase that's over and over again. When you read the story of Joseph, a great overcomer, here's a phrase that you're going to find. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. Can I tell you, it didn't matter if it was a pit. It didn't matter if it was Potiphar's house. It didn't matter if it was the prison house. The Lord was with him. You thumb your way through the Bible and you'll find with God's choicest servants in the most difficult situation, in every instance, God was with them. Can I tell you, God was with the children of Israel in the cloud and the pillar of fire, the rock in the wilderness, Moses exiled in the desert, God was in a burning bush. Listen, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fiery furnace, there was a fourth man in that fire. When Daniel was in the den of lions, the Lord was there. And can I tell you, whatever you go through in life, the Lord is there. You believe that? Then live it. Live it. Practice the presence of God. You say, preacher, I don't feel like He's there. Jesus didn't say, feel me. He said, trust me. Job put it this way. When he looked for God and all... we're going to look at Job in more detail as we learn how to overcome adversity. And here's what Job said. He said, I looked for Him and I couldn't find Him. He said, He knoweth the way that I take. You know why Fanny Crosby could overcome? Because the Lord knew the way she took. Christian, God knows everything going on. He knows the hurt. He knows the loss. He knows the pain. He knows the difficulty. He knows the hardship. He knows the way that you take. And He is with you. When you wheel back into that surgery, into that operating room, He's there. When you stand by the bed of a passing loved one, He's there. When you go through financial tragedy and loss, He's there. God didn't say that it would all be rosy. God said, you're in the world, you can have tribulation. When we get to heaven, there won't be any more tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I am with you. Number two, He's for us. I like that. Romans 8:31, you ought to jot it down. What shall we then say to these things? See, here, whatsoever... Listen, who is he that overcome? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus, that God is with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's there. I don't feel Him, but I know He's there. He's for us. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? What are these things, preacher? All the things that John encompassed in that word world. In the world ye shall have tribulation. The attack of Satan, temptation, difficulty, hardship. What shall we then say to these things? Here's what you say to these things that come in your life. If God is for me, who can be against me? That's what you say. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can... Here's what we say. We get into this, God, I thought you left me. God, here I am struggling and you're letting me, and they're doing good and I'm not doing good, and I don't know what in the world's going on in my life, and my life is a shambles and it's terrible and it's awful, and I hate the way I live and I hate my life and all these different, and boy, I tell you what, you say that, you're not overcoming. You're overcome. You know what you say to these things? God's for me. Oh, you may be, this may be against me, but God's for me. God's for me. God's for me. You know what Fanny Crosby sang? God's for me. Isn't that it? She's an overcomer. I may be blind. I may be blind. All these things are against me. Struggling through life. Can't see. Never knowing what it is to see the sun, the light of the sun, or a bird, or the color of the sky, or the grass, or the flowers. Never knowing any of that. And she could have easily said, all these things are... But she said, oh no, what a happy soul am I. You know why she realized God was for her? I don't know about you, but I need this. I need it. I need it because I'm the ultimate complainer. Anybody else want to join with me? First John 4:4. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Can you give me just a couple minutes and I'm done? You want to be an overcomer in daily life. You want to be a winner. Then you need to learn to live out your faith in your daily life as a Christian. I know Him personally as my Savior. I need to love the family of God the way I should love the family of God. I need to live every day of my life obedient to His commands. I need to follow Jesus with my life. That's what He's saying. Follow Him with our lives. Pleasing Him. And then trusting Him day by day, moment by moment, because He's the Son of God. And He's with me. He's for me. And He will help me. There's times in our lives that everything comes against us and we don't see a way out. But I'm just going to here to tell you, God always makes a way. Sometimes that way out is heaven. You say, well, preacher, that's no victory. You go tell that to the people in heaven. You go tell them that. Now, I understand as humans, we don't want to take the next bus load out. If you do, there's something a little bit wrong. Okay? God put in us a desire to live and, you know, and all of that. But what I'm saying is that that's the ultimate victory. I can take you over to Revelation 7. We'll be there tonight. You'll see it. There's a group of people standing there with palm branches in their hand. You know what? They're in the presence of the Savior. Everything was against them. And you know what? They're in a place of victory. Heaven is an ultimate place of victory. Listen, let me give you some verses. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. He will see me through. Oh, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't feel I can take another step. He'll help me. He'll help me. Psalm 46:1, He's a present help. That means at this very moment. You see, Christian, those moments you don't think you can take another step. You can't see your way through. Life is beating you down so that you don't think you're going to make it. It's in those moments when you trust Him that God will fill you with His enabling power and give you strength for the journey. Deuteronomy 33:25. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know, He's told that to a nation that was trudging through a wilderness and getting ready to go into a land and have to fight giants and walled cities And he said, whatever's going to come your way, I just will tell you, my strength will match it. Every day of your life, God has the strength you need. That's why he told Paul in his midst of his struggle, my grace is sufficient for you. You'll make it. You'll make it. But God said, I don't want you to just survive, I want you to thrive. The disciples in the storm, they can't see the shore. And the Lord took them to the other side, didn't he? So he told them they were going to go. Let's go to the other side. They went through the storm, but they made it to the other side. That's an object lesson to us. Right now, you can't see through your storm. The storm of grief, the storm of doubt, the storm of difficulty, the storm of temptation, the storm of financial hardship, family hardship, whatever, physical health crisis, emotional struggle. I'm here to tell you, we walk by faith and not by sight. The Lord will see you to the other side. He never promised you smooth sailing, but He did promise you a safe landing. We are overcomers. Say it with me again, 1, 2, 3. We are overcomers. If I was to ask for a show of hands this morning, are you an overcomer? Do you believe you're an overcomer? All the hands of their saved people go up in the building. You would. I'm just going to ask you a question. Are you living it? You see, we overcome by knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Some here today, you'll never be an overcomer if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Number 2, we win by loving. Number 3, we win by obeying. Number 4, we win by trusting. One of two things is going to happen when trouble comes. Your faith will fail and wilt, or your faith will thrive because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He is with you, He is for you, and He will help you. We are overcomers. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.